Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine, the premier digital inspirational magazine for women since 2006. I don't know about you, but I've always had an inner gremlin, I call it. My friend joining me today calls it an inner antagonist. I'm sure you know what we're talking about. It's that little voice inside that always seems to be running the show and sabotaging your happiness and success. Well, my friend, there is a way to rescript that so that your inner advocate can support you in living the life of your dreams. Joining me today is my good friend, positive psychology coach, TEDx speaker, educator, and best-selling author, Dr. Colleen Georges, who flips scripts by helping people re-script limiting life stories into empowered, limitless adventures. And I don't know about you, but I want my life to be a limitless adventure. A recovering catastrophizer, Colleen's own experience dealing with and overcoming anxiety, panic attacks, and low self-esteem has shared her work helping others rewrite negatives into positives. In her new book, Rescript the Story You're Telling Yourself, the 8 practices to quiet your inner antagonist, amplify your inner advocate, and author a limitless life. As well as her popular TEDx talk, Colleen illustrates how we can change our internal dialogue to transform the lives we live. Welcome, Colleen.
Good morning, Linda. I'm so excited to be here with you.
I always love our conversations.
Me too.
And congratulations on the launch of Rescript the Story You're Telling Yourself. It became an international bestseller within hours. The praise and endorsements coming in have been beautiful, and I was honored to provide one because it's life-changing. It's a life-changing book.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for all of your support in this entire process, because honestly, you are one of the people who's been on me with this, been on this journey with me, that without you, I wouldn't be here having the success that the book has had over this last week. So thank you so much for that.
You know, I'm passionate about supporting women like you who have a transformational, empowering message to share, to get it out to the world, because I really believe that together we can inspire, empower, and support women in living their best lives. So let's go back.
Yeah.
Back to when you were that anxiety. Because here you are, TEDx speaker, positive psychology coach, and like so many, sometimes looking in from the outside, people like, oh, she's had it made all her life. Now she's writing a book. And we giggle, don't we, Colleen? We're like,
Oh, God, yeah.
Do you know what we've had to go through to get here?
Oh, boy.
Take us back a little bit, because I think your personal journey plays a big role in your message and everything that you do, because along with everything you do, you're also a Rutgers University lecturer in counseling, women's leadership, and social justice, a member of the Rutgers Speakers Bureau, and you teach psychology of women at Middlesex County College. So you're an expert in this field, and you suffered with the same thing that you're teaching. Our mess is our message, isn't it?
It is. You know, I realize that, you know, because of, you know, kind of my own experiences, and I would say that it was probably, you know, something that started growing when I became a teenager and throughout high school. You know, that was really when, you know, the self-esteem issues really began to be problematic. And I think the anxiety began to grow during those years too. I began to, just, you know, worry incessantly and just self-criticize incessantly and, you know, and really, quite frankly, self-sabotage and, you know, at times my life was self-destructive, really. And it, you know, kind of, you know, hit a climax in my college years and in graduate school was when the panic attacks began. But, you know, a lot of the reason I wrote the book, you know, much like you said, the mess is the message. The reason I wrote the book is because I know that there's so many other people out there, you know, teenagers, young adults, you know, adults all the way into their, you know, later years of life who have this voice in their head that is, you know, chattering really, really awful negative things about, you know, who we are, what we're capable of. And, you know, it's also the reason I teach, you know, I say in my classes, no matter what the subject material is that I'm teaching, I kind of do these little mental health checks several times throughout the semester because I just want to make sure that my students also realize that, you know, if you're not feeling okay, you're not the only person that's not feeling okay. And it's okay to not be okay, and it's okay to talk about it with people and get help also and work on, importantly, as I talk to my students and my clients, that little voice in your head that is often the thing that's sabotaging us.
I used to call mine negative Nelly.
Right. Yes.
And you refer to it as the inner antagonist. And what I love about this is when we name something, that means it's in our consciousness. And the moment it's in our consciousness, we can shift it, or as you say, re-script it.
Yeah.
But when we just continue on unconsciously, we don't even realize that the inner antagonist is running the show.
Yeah.
So awareness is big, right?
Absolutely. You know, and I agree with the idea that, you know, sometimes it needs a name. It so that we don't, because it feels like it's just us. You know, it feels like it's just you and it's just the truth and it's just the story. And I really see it, you know, when I call it an inner antagonist, I'm sort of specific in calling it an antagonist because in a story, right, the antagonist character is the character that tries to shut you down and stop you from doing whatever it is that you're trying to do. It's the one that's like thwarting you at every turn. And that's why, you know, I call it an inner antagonist because it is. It's that character that lives in our heads, but it's not us. It's not all of us. You know, and that's where that sort of inner advocate comes in, is the, right, the character in your story that advocates for you, that stands by you, that's your ride or die. You know, it's the one that's going to support you, remind you all the things that are good about you and why you're capable of doing whatever you're doing. And, you know, how we need to be able to look at ourselves as made up of all of these voices. And we're not just that negative voice. That isn't the story. It doesn't have to be the story.
Oh, so true. And I love about the inner advocate, mine's like a cheerleader, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's how I flipped it for me is I hit this moment of awareness, probably I'm 50, it's going to be 57, I think about 20 years ago when I got on the healing journey because I suffered like you did with anxiety and, you know, monkey mind, right, nonstop.
You're right.
Going down the spiral. And one day I remember hearing what you call the inner antagonist.
Yeah.
And having this awareness of, oh my God, would you ever say those words to your daughter or granddaughter?
Right.
And of course the answer is no. And I said, then holy, what are you doing saying it to yourself? That was a big moment for me. And that's what you teach in the book, is that moment of awareness that there is like two voices, right? Two elements.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I much like you talk about that moment, you know, kind of where the epiphany happens. For me, it was sometime around, it was probably about 25. It was around the year 2000. I was in graduate school. And, you know, for, a year or two, I was just experiencing progressively more frequent panic attacks. And I didn't know what they were when they first started. I knew I couldn't breathe. And, you know, I knew some folks with asthma, and a lot of people laugh because they think you really thought you had asthma, but I did, you know, and here I was studying psychology. I didn't even understand that I was having panic attacks because it wasn't always, you know, I think sometimes what we don't know about panic is that it isn't always something that comes on from a specific circumstance that happens right before. It can be more of a culmination of things. And so sometimes for me, it wasn't that something stressful just happened and then I had a panic attack. It was more like everything felt stressful. And so panic just kind of came on. And so I didn't know what it was, but that was when I, you know, kind of came to the realization that once I realized what it was happening to me, I realized that I needed to figure out what I was going to do about it, because I couldn't, you know, as someone, not just someone who was trying to get through at that point a doctoral program, and, you know, I wasn't going to be able to be okay, but how could I serve the people I wanted to serve? If I wanted to be a counselor, how was I going to be able to do that if I couldn't even kind of get a hold of myself and, you know, this, again, this sort of antagonistic voice inside of me? And that was when it became clear that I needed to look inside myself and figure out what was going on.
Well, I'll tell you, the work that you've done yourself, I'm so grateful that you decided to record and write down the process that you use to change your life, the same one
yeah.
you shared as a TEDx speaker that you do with your clients, yeah. your speeches, everything, because you're right, the thing you told your students earlier, where you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the feedback you've gotten, you know, since your TEDx talk and everything,
yeah.
is, oh, my God, I'm not the only one who has this little voice inside me.
Yep.
And Colleen, that gives people hope, right? That gives people, like,
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with me. I just have to learn a skill
right.
set to shift
right.
it.
Right.
That has to feel so empowering and liberating to you that you, your pain had a purpose and that you're living your purpose now.
Absolutely. You know, I remember when I did the TEDx talk afterwards, and that was, you know, one of the scariest moments of my life, but but I did it. And right after I got off stage, you know, I couldn't believe it was like a line formed as I walked down the stage, and people just sort of formed this line. People hugged me, people cried, you know, people said, I felt like you were talking to me directly. It really blew my mind. It was a really emotional moment for me too, because, you know, it's that realization that you, not only did you think that this might be something that people were dealing with, it was confirmation that people needed to hear this, you know, that just because we've come through something and we say, well, I get this now, and, you know, this isn't rocket science, you think, well, yeah, can anybody really benefit from this? What I've come to understand, you know, through the writing and through teaching and through the TED Talk and my work with clients is that, yeah, no matter who you are, no matter what, you know, stage of life you're at, no matter how smart you are, you know, how accomplished you are, we all deal with, you know, with this voice, and it's an important thing to know that you're not the only person.
Oh, it's so true. I mean, there's been times in my life where just having that awareness that I'm not alone on whatever specific part of the journey I was on,
yeah,
empowered me to keep going. And when
yeah.
we come back from our break, I'd love to know, have you share with the listeners what the RESCRIPT acronym stands for.
Absolutely.
And we'll be back in a moment. I'm with Dr. Colleen Georges, and we're talking about her new best-selling book, Rescript the Story You're Telling Yourself. You can learn more at rescriptbook.com. We'll be back in a moment.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
We can all use a little more peace and joy in our lives. Don't you agree? Counselor, best-selling author, and self-nurturing expert Kelly Grimes of CultivatingPeaceAndJoy.com is passionate about empowering overwhelmed and exhausted women to live with more peace, joy, and meaning through the practice of self-nurturing. Through her experience working with individuals, speaking, providing workshops, and teaching professional and leadership development to forward-thinking organizations, Kelly knows that nurturing peace in the world begins from the inside out. That's why she created the free Cultivating Peace and Joy mobile app that brings you beautiful self-nurturing reminders, guided meditations, empowering practice tools, and daily prompts with an inspiring question to guide your daily self-nurturing practice. Download your free Cultivating Peace and Joy mobile app today at cultivatingpeaceandjoy.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspire Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy. And with me today is positive psychology coach, TEDx speaker, educator, and best-selling author, Dr. Colleen Georges. So, Colleen, in Rescript, the story you're telling yourself, Rescript is actually an acronym for your eight practices.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy that I when I really thought about rescripting, you know, kind of just as a term, I thought, really, it stands for something, or it stands for eight practices. And I kind of examined the word, and I thought about my TED Talk, and I thought about the work I had been doing with clients for 20 years and with students, and it seemed to center around, you know, sort of these, you know, eight practices, and sort of I built the acronym off of the things that were coming up as common themes in my work with my clients and my students, and in this, you know, in the things that I did in my own sort of rescripting of my story. And so it is an acronym, and I'll be happy to go over that acronym. So the first R is for release rumination. And I like to say, and I talk about this in the book, that, you know, this is my first R because, in essence, we can ruminate about any of the other aspects of the negative thinking patterns that are in the rest of the Rescript acronym. But it's so critically important to sort of to get a hold of when we find ourselves in situations where we are ruminating. Ruminating typically is looking backwards, although we can ruminate about things that are upcoming. But it's the replaying of negative things that have happened to us. It's the replaying of something awful that somebody said, or something that you're worrying about, or, you know, thinking over and over again about what somebody's thinking about you, or, and, you know, if pondering why you're not good enough and all the mistakes you've made. But it's a sort of ruminating, reliving, rehashing mentally of just all of the awful things that go on in our lives, and the importance of being able to learn how to release those patterns and habits of ruminating. The E is for engage growth goals versus evading them. When we are, yeah, I think at any stage of our lives, even when we're in a better place, but especially when we're, you know, kind of in a difficult spot in our life, we may have things that we want to do, you know, goals that we have professionally, personally, academically, just projects maybe that we want to work on, passion projects. And the way that we evade, you know, the things that we really want to do out of fear, and the importance of engaging the goals that we have that we know are going to grow us, even if they're scary. The S is for seeking strengths versus scrutinizing our shortcomings, because we know it's often so much easier for people to rattle off the things that they think are their shortcomings versus the things that we know are our strengths. So being able to sort of be intentional in discovering and utilizing our strengths. Challenge catastrophizing, that's my favorite because it's the one that I think I find a lot of people struggle with the most, and certainly it's been the hardest in my own journey. So the practice of worrying, stressing, believing that the worst is going to happen, you know, that every possible awful scenario you can imagine for whatever it is that you're going to be doing next is what's going to be, and the importance of challenging those beliefs and looking at the reality of the situation. The second R is restricting regret, not looking back, looking forward. We can't rewind. We can't change the past. We make mistakes. It's human. Let's take what we've learned and rather than look back and wonder what could have been. The I is for invite imperfection versus being a perfectionist. We often, you know, wear sort of badge of honor. If somebody says, oh, you're a perfectionist, you know, with pride, we might be like, yes, I am. And sort of learning how to let go of perfectionism, which can oftentimes create a lot of stress and unrealistic expectations that we have for ourselves and invite the imperfections that we all have. The P is for pursue passion and purpose, which is really about, you know, finding what you love, finding the things that make you feel purposeful in the world, give you a mission, and pursuing those things either professionally or personally. And the final, again, one of my favorites is think thankfully versus thinking deprived. And that one really comes out of especially my own experience of how gratitude, the practice of gratitude, really completely changed my life.
Oh, my God. Thank you for sharing the 8 practices. And 2 really jumped out at me. One, yeah, was the challenge catastrophizing because, as I shared, I used to do that, right?
Yeah.
And it takes away your life force energy. And now I say I'd rather spend time in faith than worry, right?
Yeah.
For something that may never happen, but it keeps my power. And the other one is the invite imperfection versus the infallibility and perfectionism, because I call it divine imperfection. And that's where I'm at now at this stage of my life. But I used to be in the like, everything had to be perfect. And I gave up so much life force, energy, happiness, and joy.
Yeah.
So those 2 jumped out at me like, oh, yeah. I think each of us listening, as you were going through them, could identify like, oh, yeah, that's me.
Yep.
Right? And so thank you. I wanted you to share them because I know that each of us, I also believe we kind of go through them in our lives organically. Like these are things we go through anyway. You're showing when you follow this process, it's almost like it's an empowered process instead of just like as one of them, engage growth goals versus evading them. If we're unconscious and not aware of the inner antagonist, we're going to be in the evading energy.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The idea that, you know, these are typically things that we are experiencing. And, you know, when we're in states of overwhelm or stress, you know, I think that we, you know, we can live sort of on an autopilot. And the autopilot, unfortunately, at various times of our life, we're being autopiloted by the inner antagonist. You know, that's the one that's sort of running the show or driving the car or the plane or whatever. So, you know, that's the autopiloted voice we're listening to without realizing that's what we're doing, because we're just kind of going through the motions. We get caught up in, you know, the alarm goes off, I get up, I go to work, I do, you know, take my responsibilities, I feel stressed out, you know, I come home, I'm not in a good mood, I'm trying, I go to bed and I do it again. It's like trying to take more, as you said, that word empowerment, to be empowered and to be, you know, that the word intentional always is, I think, is one of the most important things as human beings. Intentional about, listen to what you are saying to yourself. Listen to what you're telling other people. It's not just, it's not just self-talk. It's just talk. What are you telling, not just you in your own head, but what do we tell other people about us? What do we tell other people about our lives? Are we running, you know, the same story about why this is just the way it is for me? This is just how I am. This is just how it's always been. I can't catch a break. I can't. I think that we're not just telling ourselves that story. We tell other people that story.
Oh, so true. And one of the things for me that was a big catalyst for me to step on this path, my daughter's going to be 35, and I was a single mom. Yeah. And so I stepped on the path. I think she was about 5 or 6. And I didn't have the language or the awareness, of course, that I have in this moment of this conversation.
Yeah.
But I remember a knowing saying, you got to change things. She's mirroring you.
Yeah.
And just because you carried the bull crap from your childhood, right, the childhood programming, don't pass it on to her. Stop this. And that was one of the big things, because I caught myself talk, which then became me speaking it out loud.
Right.
Right? And it, which causes worry and anxiety in children. When we're constantly worried and anxious and they're looking to us for peace and serenity and safety, they're like, oh, my God, mom's on, what's happening? That's what shifted it for me is, oh, my God, I can't do this. So do you notice a lot of parents, and you're a parent yourself, a lot of women especially, that they embrace these changes because they want to break the cycle?
Oh, my God, right. It's like it's amazing how much, we talk to our friends, talk to clients, and so many people, particularly, women do say that, I don't want this to be my son's life. I don't want this to be my daughter's life. And I know that I certainly feel my son's going to be 10 next month. And, I thought, I don't want to pass anxiety down to him. I don't want to pass perfectionism down to him. I don't. And I want him to not just think, that he should simply live practically, that if he's passionate, I've got a son who's extremely passionate about the piano, I want him to pursue the things that he loves. I want him to be grateful for what he has. I don't want him to perceive his life as if it's filled with gaps and deficits. You just don't want your child to go through something like that. And while I understand that, obviously every individual has their own journey, and you can't remove all struggle and challenge from your child's life.
Not.
I think, and honestly, the truth of the matter is, going back to the mess is the message. We need those moments. We learn from mess, and we learn from mistakes, and we learn from challenge and trauma and tragedy. So there's purpose in all of it. But the last thing you want to be able to create a foundation for your child. And so many moms that I talk to that just say, I just don't want my daughter, my son to feel like I felt.
Exactly. We're going to take a break, Colleen, and when we come back, I'd love if you'd share, one or two ways that we can quiet the inner antagonist quickly. Maybe a tip or a strategy.
Yeah.
And I'll be back in a moment with Dr. Colleen Georges.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Are you tired of sitting on the sidelines of your life? Do you feel disconnected from your truth and inner joy? Are you ready to start marching to the sound of your own drum instead of living on autopilot? It's time to start consciously creating your life from a place of personal power and to accept the support you need to create and live your authentic life. Coach and international best-selling author Felicia Baucom specializes in empowering women to march to their own drum and create their own unique path to happiness. Felicia has a gift for balancing grassroots pragmatism with the spiritual side of life. She inspires women to connect with their inner rebel so they can uncover the next chapter of their lives. Visit marchtoyourowndrum.com today to schedule your complimentary Heart's Desire breakthrough session.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi everyone, this is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is best-selling author and TEDx speaker, Dr. Colleen Georges. We're talking about re-scripting the story that we're telling ourselves. So, you know that little inner antagonist within all of us. Do you have a tip or a strategy that you could share that if someone's struggling with it at this moment, something they can do to quickly quiet it?
Yeah. You know, in the rumination chapter, I've got a strategy that I call alter analysis into action. And this is really something that you can do to can be, you know, sort of modified and tweaked and applied to any of the areas of negative thinking within this whole idea of re-scripting. But, you know, I often with myself and it's sort of the sort of quick and dirty strategy that I usually tell my clients and my students initially is that when you catch yourself in a situation where you're ruminating about something or you're catastrophizing about something or you're avoiding something or telling yourself why you're terrible or you suck or, you know, what you're not capable of, one of the first things we need to do is ask ourselves, what do I control in this situation, especially when it comes to ruminating and catastrophizing? Because there's usually a sense of being out of control, right? There's a sense of there's things happening that I don't like, and I feel like things are spinning, and I have, you know, I don't know what to do. And what we often do is we perceive ruminating or worrying, catastrophizing, we perceive the mental analysis process to be productive. We say, well, if I think about this, I'm going to come up with a solution. But we often stay in our heads and just make ourselves physically unwell, mentally and emotionally unwell. So the first thing I say is when you catch yourself in that sort of a state, especially with ruminating, catastrophizing, to say, you know, first I say your name, you know, I say stop, use the word stop. Stop, I'll say stop, Colleen. You know, we're not doing this right now. So talk to yourself by name, use the word stop so that we get ourselves in a sense of literally I'm going to stop the spinning, I'm going to stop this sort of mental, you know, downward spiral that's happening. Use your name, remind yourself that you can talk to yourself and that you are not the voice. That is just a part of you. And say, you know, stop, Colleen. We're not doing this right now. That's the way of saying, no, I'm not listening to you. This inner antagonist voice, I'm not listening to you. I'm separating you from me. You are not me. And what do I control in this situation? And I ask myself that question, and that's the important thing. What do we control in this situation? And as soon as we determine, right, what we control, you act upon it. And then you make peace with the fact that what you don't control, I even physically will, you know, sort of like do the, you know, washing of the hands or the moving of like, I'm letting it go. Let it go. What do I control? And let me act upon what I control, even if it's the smallest thing. Right now,
just the question switches the power.
Yeah, exactly.
It switches the power. And you could feel the difference, like as you said, stop Colleen. Mine has been cancel.
I like it.
Well, sometimes I say it out loud, too, because I believe when you speak something. So I say it inside, but sometimes a thought will come and I'll say, like, cancel. And Dana goes, oh, I had one of those thoughts again. I'm like, oh, did I say that out loud?
I love it. But out loud is, right, out loud, you know, I say this so much to people. I joke around that, you know, if you're by yourself, speak out loud, like, please, right? But even if you're not, if you're comfortable, go ahead and talk out loud, right? Because that actually, I think, increases the power is speaking it out loud. We're taking ownership of the fact that, you know, we're separating ourselves from that voice. That voice is not you. That voice is not all of you. That voice is not the whole story. It's just this teeny little part of it. And it doesn't need to be, you know, it doesn't need to be the main character. It doesn't need to be the main script. We get to stop it.
Oh, so true. It's so true. And one of the other things I just came to my awareness. I haven't done it in many years. Mm-hmm. I wish I could give credit. It could be Esther Hicks. I can't remember. But to see the thought, I guess we will label it as a negative thought, on a big dry erase board. And in that moment of awareness, visualize yourself erasing it.
Oh, I love that.
I remember, because I'm a visual, well, as you know, because we have a personal relationship, I'm very visual. So when I first stepped on the path, that one worked for me because I could see. Now I use something different, the cancel, and sometimes other things. But I love the question that you asked us to pose to ourselves, because you could feel the flip in energy in a moment, going from victim to an empowered participant.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right, because it feels immensely disempowering when you're in that situation. You feel overwhelmed and out of control. And once we recognize that analysis isn't control, staying in your brain and just running, you know, through the scripts is not control. Control is, let me really kind of take a look at the situation, you know, separate myself from it for a moment and ask myself, what do I control? Because there's no point in analyzing the parts of something you don't control. I talk about this in the book. You don't control what other people think of you. You don't read other people's minds. We're not going to suddenly figure out what someone's thinking. If I just replay this scenario over and over again, I'm going to know what that person's thinking of me now or why they did with you're never going to know that. And you're never going to be able to make a person think or feel or do anything. But there may be one little small action that we can take that empowers us to say, this is what I control, and let me do something about it. And then I know, because we get frustrated with ourselves for not acting.
Yeah.
And that just, it perpetuates it and makes it worse. So act upon what we do control and make peace with the fact that no amount of analysis is going to, you know, change another human being, you know, change certain aspects of a situation. But there are little things, sometimes bigger things, that we may be able to do that when we do it, we feel so much better because we got out of our heads and we jumped into action.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And the action is what empowers us.
Yeah.
One of the things, too, is when it involves another person, as you just said, or a situation, right?
Yeah.
That we feel that we are losing control because we can't, like you said, we can't change it.
Yeah.
The only way I can do it now is I have a little mantra. I let this go to the, and envision it all working out for the highest and best of all. And I let it go. I let it go to my spiritual power, whatever.
Yeah.
And that kind of helps me. So every time the thought comes back, I'm like, no, I've let this go. I've let this go into the divine's hands. I've let this go because you nailed it. We can't change another person, but so much of our energy goes to trying to change people in situations that we cannot. We're not, you know, that magical. We're magical, but we don't have that power.
No.
To, you know, as much as we sometimes wish we could, of course.
Right.
So that's a big one, too, is learning to let go and trust.
Yeah.
Have you found that to be true on your journey?
Yeah. I that's actually, you know, another thing I talk about in the book is, you know, as a strategy is you know, I go hand it over to a higher power. There's times when, you know, and I think these are things that happen regularly. It's the small things, the big things that you just have to say, whether it's a disappointment or a frustration or a stressor or whatever it might be. I have to trust, I have to have faith that there's, you know, there's something looking out for me, or someone or an entity that's looking out for me, and I don't need to understand everything that's happening right now.
It's so true. And have you found times in your life where you thought a situation, if all the outside information coming in was, this situation is not going to work out in my advantage, but you made the choice to let go and trust? And I don't know about you, but I can name multiple times in the letting go that the situation either resolved itself on its own or led to something that was higher and better for me than the original situation.
Absolutely. And I believe that so much. I mean, just yesterday I had, you know, something happen that was like a minor disappointment. And it's something that would have, actually, it's something that mirrors a situation that happened to me a decade ago that I felt was a major disappointment. You know, so, but I, you know, when you realize that you don't know, you know, that we don't always know where things are supposed to go for us. We don't always know, you know, exactly what might be best for us. We don't, there's a lot of information that we don't have, the universe has, or a higher power has, that we don't have. And if you, yeah, if you trust, you do, you find that disappointment that you thought was, you know, that sort of be-all, end-all, the thing that had to be, the situation that had to turn out, the relationship you had to have, the job you had to have, the house you had to have, whatever it was, that, no, you didn't. You didn't have to have it, because that door closed. You know, I think that's what I hear you saying, right? That door closes, and so much better doors open. That one door closes and a gazillion amazing doors open for you. And you didn't know. You didn't know that was why, but you have to know in those moments, there's going to be doors that open for you that you just did, you had no idea. They were even there.
You can't see until you let go.
Yeah.
And exactly. When we come back from our break, Colleen, you shared how to quiet a strategy to quiet your inner antagonist. I'm going to ask you to share a strategy to help us amplify our inner advocate so that we can cultivate positive thoughts and actions.
Great.
And I'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Inspired Conversations, and with me is Dr. Colleen Georges, author of Rescript, The Story You're Telling Yourself. Visit rescriptbook.com for the book, and you can learn more about Colleen at colleengeorges.com. We'll be back in a moment.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Do you feel overwhelmed and unsure about what steps to take to find peace, joy, and purpose in your life? Chris Groth is a spiritual mentor, energy healer, and best-selling author of the novel Soliloquy, a novel of healing, soul connection, and passion, and co-author of several best-selling books. Chris is passionate about helping women connect more deeply to their own truth, to promote healing, and restore balance to the body, heart, mind, and soul, so they can live a soul-connected life. Chris serves clients around the world through spiritual mentoring sessions, energy healings, and powerful custom guided sound healing meditations that bring in the energy of crystal singing bowls. If you're ready to heal your heart, nurture your soul, and illuminate your path, schedule a complimentary virtual session with Chris today at chrisgroth.com. That's Chris with a K and GROTH.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is Dr. Colleen Georges. So thank you for sharing the strategy in the last segment about how to quiet our inner antagonist. Absolutely. How could we amplify the inner advocate that we all have within us?
Yeah, there's so many different ways, but I think that, you know, going back to the word intentionality, I think that we need to be aware of, you know, I've an entire chapter that really talks about strengths. And I think we have to do a real sort of strengths assessment, whether formally there are, you know, assessments that I talk about in the book, but there's also, you know, kind of looking back at moments in our lives where we've triumphed over a difficult situation, or we've achieved a great success that we were working towards, and really examine, you know, how did I do that? What did I sort of, you know, pull from within me that helped me to be able to achieve this, to triumph over this challenge? And to think of those are our strengths. You know, what are we great at? And when we have a sense of what we're great at, to be very intentional each day in using them to do good for others, using them to do good for ourselves, using them to achieve the goals we have, using them to to deal with the challenges we're facing. There's obviously certain things that maybe are not as much of a strength for us, but maybe when we, you know, again, when we're intentional about using our strengths, we're able to cultivate new strengths and work through challenges that we thought, you know, required something that we weren't good at, but actually we can use the strengths we already have to, you know, to overcome a situation or achieve a goal. And I think that's a big piece of amplifying our inner advocates. But I think also, you know, going back to the idea of thinking thankfully and gratitude, going through each day, you know, really from start to finish, I talk about kind of, you know, the thankfuls before bed. But I think when we do that, when we think about what am I grateful for today, you know, what went well today, what people am I grateful for, what experiences am I grateful for, it becomes a practice that we do really throughout the day, from the moment you wake up in the morning until you, you know, go about your day or, you know, or you're interacting with other people, to be constantly aware of and thinking about what's going well. And I think that's another way to sort of amplify an inner advocate, because it takes away this belief that I'm deprived of the things I need to be happy, you know, that I don't, you know, that I can't be happy yet because I still need X, Y, and Z, that we enable ourselves to be an advocate by recognizing what we already have, by learning to see the abundance of what we already have. And I think that creates more of that abundance.
Oh, I agree. And what's the saying? What we focus on, we attract, right?
Yeah.
And so it shifts, I believe it just shifts our vibration. It just like recalibrates us. And gratitude, as it has in so many lives, has played a major role in mine too.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny is sometimes we forget how amazingly blessed that we are.
Exactly.
Right? Doesn't mean life is perfect. And I want to say that. Because guess what, darling? It's not meant to be perfect. It will never be perfect.
No.
Right? So, but I've learned over the time that every moment has a blessing, even in the middle of the bull crap that comes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just what you just described. It's just shifting that mindset over to gratitude and focusing on that allows us, almost like this expanded view of our lives that says, oh, my God, I have more to be grateful for than I thought I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you ever notice, too, Colleen, maybe in your work with clients, that from the outside looking in, everyone else says, oh, my God, you know, she's happy-go-lucky like you, TEDx speaker, all this. But they see the blessings in our lives, but we don't. Right. And I'm not talking about physical or success blessings. I'm talking about all blessings.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we just forget, and it's hard in this fast-paced world, isn't it? That's why I think your book is so important. We can get lost in all the negativity and all that type of energy that's coming at us constantly from media sources, social media. It doesn't matter where it's coming from.
Right.
So in order to stay balanced in our lives, we have to have processes like the rescript process so that we can write our own script and not just be part of somebody else's.
Exactly. Yeah. When we're busy and people today, you're right. I think that, I often say this to my clients, to my students, I think that life is moving faster and faster. It seems, there's expectations I think that people feel in their lives and in their workplaces of performance and what that means and what it means to be competitive. And, it puts a lot of people, in a place where we feel overwhelmed, people feel like they're kind of going and doing all the time. And when we feel like that, we don't spend a lot of time, because there isn't a lot of time, reflecting, right? We don't, it's not work. We're just kind of, again, living on that autopilot and doing and just getting stuff done. What I hope with rescripting, what I believe it is not letting the autopilot, especially that negative inner antagonist autopilot, run things, to constantly bring ourselves back to a state of reflection, a state of presence, a state of intentionality where, this is not like I'm not one of those people who is a 21 days to anything. I don't believe in that stuff. I believe that if you want to change your life, you're making a commitment to doing these things every day for the rest of your life. And while I know that sometimes we look for these quick fixes and we hope that we're going to learn something that's going to, we'll go, oh, well, now I've learned that and I don't need to work on that anymore. I think it's empowering to do daily work. I think it's empowering to be intentional in our actions all day, every day, that keeps us grounded and present. It stops us from living on an autopilot. And the importance of, reflecting and being present and being intentional. And that's what I think rescripting is. It's being in your story and rescripting in every moment. If I don't like where this is going, if I don't like what the voice in my head is saying right now, then let me not listen to it and let me rescript it.
So true, as you share in the book, it's about becoming the author of your own life, right?
Yeah.
And actually writing the script. If you don't like it, rewrite it. And to me, just stay in that. I wish I had grabbed that verbatim from your book. There was a paragraph, I think it was in the introduction.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, my God, just reading those three sentences puts the power back in my hands again.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes we feel like a life, a big, I don't know the word, is writing the script for us.
Yeah.
But the reality is we have to shift that thought and realize and embrace that, no, we're writing the script in every moment with our thoughts, our beliefs, and our habits.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I want to invite everyone to, I want to say the URL. You can order the Rescript book at rescriptbook.com. And I want to invite you to visit Colleen's website at ColleenGeorges.com for even more information. So, Colleen, is there any further piece of wisdom, more than what you've already shared, my friend,
thank you,
that you'd like to leave our listeners with in the last few moments that we have?
Yeah, I think that it's literally the, you know, another thing that rescripting is it's changing the language that you use when you speak to yourself and when you speak to other people and hearing what you say, you know, really listening to when I'm feeling stressed or feeling awful, what words am I using to talk to myself about myself? And when you hear what you say, literally change the language. Use language that is more empowering, you know, remove the words can't, remove the words won't, remove the that's just how it is, remove the passive language that we sometimes use that keeps us stuck in old patterns that we don't like. You know, it's literally changing the words. You know, I know that when I'm in those moments and I hear myself doing it and knowing that just because you know this stuff doesn't mean that you just, again, magically remember it all the time. We have to be intentional. I have to be intentional. You have to be intentional.
Yeah, exactly.
Change the words. Change the words. When I know when I find myself saying, oh, my God, I can't handle this, I stop right away and I say, no, Colleen, that's not what we're doing. Yes, you can. You've got this. You're good. We're okay. We're going to take it one thing at a time. That's all. You know, we have to speak calmly, calm tone, slowly, calm words, empowering words, change the words, change the tone.
That is a powerful way to end our call with love, right? Self-love in the way that we talk to ourselves.
Yes.
So thank you, my friend, for joining me today and for sharing your wisdom. I want to invite our listeners to visit rescriptbook.com to order your copy of Rescript, the Story You're Telling Yourself. The 8 practices to quiet your inner antagonist, amplify your inner advocate, and author a limitless life. Thank you again, Colleen.
Thank you so much, Linda. This was great.
Until next time, everyone, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness, my friends.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.